Thank you, Lynn. And yeah, what I will do, Lynn, is I will go until 55 minutes after the hour, and then I'll need to leave and go get Miranda. So while I'm gone getting Miranda, if you could play a song or something, that would be great. And then once Miranda and I are ready, I'll put my hand up. And, you know, there may be a song that needs to finish playing or whatever, but at least you'll know that we're ready to go. How's that sound? And it seems like it's been forever since I've been here. I've missed 2 weeks because I was at the Awakening Together retreat, and it's really nice to be back again for the Seven Steps to Awakening. As you guys know, I like to start the Seven Steps to Awakening with some music, just as an opportunity to kind of be still and get centered. And when I was getting ready to select a song, Laurie began to sing a song, and I thought, oh, I have that song. I can play that song. So we're going to hear the same song again, You'll Never Walk Alone, this time sung by Susan Boyle. So here we go.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky, and the sweet silver
I just love Susan Boyle. beautiful. All right. So we are here for the Seven Steps to Awakening. And I'm going to give you a link to my journal for, quote, 682A, because we're beginning with 682 tonight. And those of you who like to read along in my journal, there's your link. This is a very long quote. We're in the Yoga Vasistha quotes of, it's called the Supreme Yoga in the Seven Steps to Awakening, Step 3. This is a very long quote, though, so we'll see. I'll read it once, and then I'll see if I feel like reading it again would be helpful. But this is the quote that's being contemplated. When the mind has ceased to be because of the total absence of the notions of material existence, consciousness exists in its own nature as consciousness, and that is known as pure being. When consciousness, devoid of notions of objectivity, merges in itself, losing its separate identity as it were, it is pure being. When all objects, external material and internal notional, merge in consciousness, there is pure being of consciousness. This is the supreme vision which happens to all liberated ones, whether they seem to have a body or they are without one. This vision is available to one who has been awakened, to one who is in a state of deep contemplation, and to a man of self-knowledge. It is not experienced by the ignorant person. So that's the quote, and I think I won't read it again. I think maybe because the quote is so long, what I'll do is spend a little more time focusing on the journal entries, because the journal entries are smaller bites. And I don't know about you all, but it's easier for me to look at a small bite at a time. So the first journal entry that I have on this particular quote, number 682A. The mind and world reinforce each other. As world happens, mind thinks about it. As mind thinks, illusion blocks truth and wisdom. Conversely, when mind and world are let go, even temporarily during contemplation, reality is known and wisdom is clearly recognized. This is something that we also teach in our True Discernment class. We teach that the value of contemplation is that when you are deeply contemplating a quote by a master or deeply contemplating a scripture, in those moments or minutes or hours, depending on how you contemplate, in that time that you are deeply contemplating whatever it is you're contemplating, you are not thinking about the world in the usual way. You know, I don't know how you guys are, but I like to assume that we're all pretty much the same. And when you're up and moving about in the world, there are the problems of the day. You know, it depends on what your situation is. It could be financial. It could be relationship. It could be work-related. It could be children-related. But there's stuff going on. Every one of us has stuff going on. And when we're out and about, our mind tends to think about that stuff. And as this particular quote says, the mind and the world are really reinforcing each other all of the time. But what happens when we're deep in contemplation? We aren't thinking about the, quote, problem of the day. We aren't thinking about our job, our relationships, our money concerns, our children. We're just being focused on the quote in a very still type of way. If you know how to contemplate. Wow, Dances, that's good. Thank you. Dances just put that whole quote in the room. Dances, I am highly impressed. I don't know how you did that. Maybe you found it on the internet or something, but I am highly impressed. Wow. Anyway, when you are deeply contemplating a quote, your mind isn't spinning on all of those other things, and something happens. Something happens in that you can begin to see and realize things that you don't normally see or realize, that you don't normally know. And in fact, later in the day when you get up and you start moving about and the thinking mind comes back, thinking about the problems of the day, you can even entirely forget the depth of the realizations that you were having during your contemplation time. And in fact, this is exactly why I recommend that people write down any clarity that's coming during contemplation, because it's just like you're in an entirely different space. And that space gets closed up and lost when the thinking mind returns. I perceive contemplation as extremely important to the spiritual path. And of course, I am really speaking for myself. But I perceive contemplation as very important to the spiritual path, because when I am in contemplation, I do have insights and I do have realizations that pull me along on this path of awakening that I would not have if I didn't take the time for contemplation. And in fact, this very long quote that Dances has so generously pasted in the room for us, notice this, the last sentence of this quote, now that you can look at it. This vision is available to one who has been awakened, to one who is in a state of deep contemplation, and to a man of self-knowledge. It is not experienced by the ignorant person. So you can see right there in Yoga Vasistha's quote, he also really honors contemplation. He is saying when you are in that deep, deep state of contemplation, you can realize things. You will realize things that do not occur, that are not seen, that are not realized when you're just going about your day with the normal spinning mind. So again, the journal entry 682A says, the mind and world reinforce each other. As world happens, mind thinks about it. That's what I'm calling the problem of the day, right? As world happens, the mind thinks about it. As mind thinks, illusion, or we could say ignorance, blocks truth and wisdom. Conversely, when mind and world are let go, even temporarily during contemplation, reality is known and wisdom is clearly recognized. When we were at the Awakening Together retreat last week, one day I asked people to introduce themselves, and as they introduced themselves, to also share, if they could only read one book for the rest of their life, what that book would be. And the book that I chose was The Seven Steps to Awakening. And the reason I chose The Seven Steps to Awakening is because it has over 1,500 quotes for me to deeply contemplate and to continue to realize deeper and deeper, or ever broadening wisdom and clarity. I know the value of contemplation. So I thought rather than a book to read, I would want to take a book that would guide my daily contemplation. So I'm now going to scroll down and click on 682B. And I will post that link in the room as well. 682B says, wisdom self is not individual self. Attachment to and concern with individual self completely blocks the realization of wisdom self. Conversely, when one is willing to disregard the petty urgings of individual self because one aspires to realization of truth, true seeing beyond human seeing is realized. I don't know about you all, but when I first started on this spiritual path consciously, and I did start with A Course in Miracles when I made that conscious decision to be on a spiritual path, and I was reading A Course in Miracles, and maybe some of you guys remember what it was like to start reading A Course in Miracles. Well, maybe you weren't in the same position as me. Maybe you weren't completely new to the spiritual path when you started A Course in Miracles, but I was. I was completely new to the spiritual path when I started A Course in Miracles. And, you know, sometimes what I was reading in A Course in Miracles just sounded crazy, right? I mean, it was completely alien to my experience, such as those crazy, crazy statements like the body does not exist at all or the world does not exist, right? And there were most certainly times, even though I was completely captured by A Course in Miracles, and I really was every day, just all of the time, studying it, contemplating it, practicing the workbook lessons. When I listened to music, I only listened to Resta at that time, who sang songs based on A Course in Miracles. So I was just completely absorbed in A Course in Miracles. But at the same time, there was just this doubt, because it was just so different from what I knew. And one thing that helped to lessen that doubt was that I would run across other teachings by other people from other times, from other religions, and I would see that the teachings were the same. You know, it didn't matter whether the person was Hindu, Buddhist, Christian mystic, Jewish mystic, psychology mystic. We've had our share of psychology mystics. It didn't matter. When someone went within, really deeply within, they all seemed to realize the same thing. And I thought, you know, it's got to be truth. If it can come through everyone, it doesn't have to be learned. It can come through everyone who chooses to go deeply in a very focused, I'm going to say concentrated way. Well, then it has to be truth, right? And so seeing it over and over again in many different places helped me to at least put my doubts aside until finally I got to the point where I went through an experience where the doubt itself was healed. But it allowed me to put my doubts aside and to continue on this path from a position of faith. Well, the very first line of 682B says, wisdom self is not individual self. And that's what I saw when I saw the same teaching coming through so many, quote, people over so many times, you know, from ancient past to current times, and showing up in so many scriptures that were written by so many different hands, and yet I kept seeing the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. I realized there's only one wisdom self. You know, whether it's Regina speaking from clarity or anybody else here in the sanctuary speaking from clarity, the clarity itself is one wisdom self. So again, wisdom self is not individual self. It is from beyond this personality. Attachment to and concern with individual self completely blocks the realization of wisdom self. So wisdom self is beyond the personality, which in a way means we have to get past the personality's concerns in order to realize the wisdom self. So again, when I'm caught up in the problem of the day, whether that be a financial problem, a relationship problem, a children problem, a parent problem, a job problem, you know, you just go on and on and on with the different, a health problem, right? When I'm caught up in the problem of the day and worrying about the problem of the day and trying to figure out and solve the problem of the day from the personality self, from the one who's attached, the one who's involved, wisdom is blocked. Wisdom is blocked. If I want to know the wisdom self, I need to be able to, at least temporarily, put aside the personality self and its concerns. And again, for me, this is a deep advantage of contemplation. When I am in contemplation, contemplating a quote, some type of seeing arises that it has nothing to do with anything that's happening in the life of Regina. And goes far beyond any concerns that Regina would have. And it reveals truths that are true not only for Regina, but for everyone. For everyone. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And again, this to me is the power and the importance of true contemplation. And in fact, at Awakening Together, one practice that we put in place when we first started Awakening Together was we post a daily quote. And the reason that we post a daily quote is so that those who want to, those who are not using something else like the Seven Steps to Awakening, those who want to will have a quote that is available to them every day for contemplation. And it's interesting because one thing that I observe that there are some people that really know how to contemplate a quote. And you can tell when you come to contemplation circle and listen. But I can also tell that there are people who do not know how to contemplate. For example, every now and then, I post the quotes in Facebook. Rebecca Gibson actually selects them and posts them on the Awakening Together website. I just copy them from the Awakening Together website and post them in Facebook. And sometimes you'll see very quickly comments, I would say judging the quote. Very quickly, boom, you know, well, doesn't this person know, blah, 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 you know, referring to the person that the quote is from. Whenever we judge a quote like that, we are missing the opportunity to contemplate it. Another way that we miss an opportunity to contemplate a quote is when we read the quote and then the intellectual mind goes, oh yeah, 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 yeah. I know what that means. I've read that before. I've thought about that before. And you know what? If you've been on this spiritual path for a while, that's probably true of nearly every quote that is posted on Awakening Together, and probably even true of the quotes in the Seven Steps to Awakening. You've probably seen them before. You have some understanding of what those words mean. But if we allow the mind to just say, oh, yeah, 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 I know what that means, we don't get the opportunity to go into that deeper contemplation. And what we're really seeing tonight is that this seeing, this realizing that is far beyond the individual self, far beyond the individual mind, far beyond anything that we could possibly learn, right? If we're not awake or self-realized, that seeing becomes available to us through contemplation. It's when we go into that concentrated openness. That's really what contemplation is for me. It's a concentrated openness. When we go into that concentrated openness, there's a seeing that occurs. But it will not occur if I judge the quote too quickly. And it will not occur if I think I know what the quote says too quickly. I have to be open to the journey. It really is a journey. I have to be open to the journey of contemplation. Now, one thing I've noticed about contemplation, and this is just from my own experience, and so some of your experiences may be different, but one thing I've noticed about contemplation from my experience is in the beginning, contemplation really took some time before anything truly valuable, anything truly beyond arose. Sometimes I would need to contemplate something for days. And it takes a lot of patience and a lot of willingness and a lot of true desire to see beyond the limits of the thinking mind in order to contemplate one little sentence or one little quote for days. But I found that if I did that, things did come, things that were truly beyond me, you know, truly beyond what I knew at an intellectual level. And then as I continue contemplating, what has happened with time is that contemplation can occur very, very quickly. Sometimes when I'm reading, it's not the I know mind. Remember I spoke just a moment ago about if you're reading a quote and your mind goes, I know what that means. That has a certain feel to it. But what can happen now is I'll read a quote and about the same time that I finish reading it, these realizations begin to come. It's not the same as the I know mind. It's like the skill of contemplation has become, you know, better. What other word can I use? It's become better honed. You know, it's a better skill. And so as soon as I finish reading, insight begins to come. And if you know anything about my journal, you also know that many, many times I get many, many insights. In fact, it seems like the longer I contemplate the seven steps to awakening, the more insights I get per quote. For example, if there was only one insight in my journal, there would only be number 682, one insight for one quote. But here we're going to have 682A, 682B, 682C, 682D. That means that I read the quote, contemplated it, and an insight came. But then there was this intuitive feeling, oh, there's more here. And so I would read the quote again. I would contemplate it again. And another insight or a deeper level of the same insight would occur. And then again, there's more to see here. Right? And now this is a very long quote, so maybe it even intellectually makes sense that I could get 682 A, B, C, and D. But if you look at my most recent journal entries, which are from the late 700s, the early 800s, sometimes the quote is 4 to 6 words. The quote that's being contemplated is 4 to 6 words. And you'll find in my journal there's an A, a B, a C, a D, an E, an F. Like the longer I contemplated those 4 to 6 words, the more and more seeing came. Sometimes the seeing is what I'm going to call right now beyondness, meaning it takes you into seeing beyond the personality. And in fact, this morning I read to you something from Bentinho Massaro that he wrote. And in the very beginning of what I read to you this morning, it was called, I think he called it My Musings, the Musings from My Journey into Infinity was the name of the writing. Musings from My Journey into Infinity. And when you read the first part of that Musings writing, you'll see that Bentinho, either through contemplation or through meditation, has had glimpses of the beyond. Right? And I have had glimpses of the beyond through contemplation. And we find those glimpses in my journal. Where do you think my teaching of the four principles of God came from? Right? It came from contemplation and getting glimpses beyond the thinking mind. You know, these aren't things that we learn. These are things that we realize. It's different. So sometimes when we contemplate, there's some beyond type of sight, beyond type of realizing that comes. Sometimes when we contemplate, another gift comes. And it's what I'm going to call correction. It's correction. What will come when we contemplate is we start to look at ourselves in an extremely honest, non-judgmental way. And we start to see those blocks to love's presence, to quote the Course, that are still present in our daily habits of thinking and daily habits of ways of being. And these corrective revelations are just as important, maybe even more important, because these corrective revelations that come when we contemplate allow us to see how we can continue to remove the obstacles to love's presence, right? So that there's nothing between us and the truth anymore. Another type of thing that comes during contemplation is just what I'm going to call deeper and deeper commitment. You know, through contemplation, there will be, well, Lynn has written the word somewhere, I think I saw heart opening, so I'm going to use that. heart opening. There'll be heart opening that just comes through the contemplation that results in a deeper and deeper commitment to purpose, a deeper and deeper commitment to self-honesty. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So, you know, there are different kinds of revelations that occur through contemplation. And one reason I want to say that is I wouldn't want anybody who's somewhat new to contemplation or only just now beginning to consider contemplation to think that every time you sit down to contemplate, you're waiting for some type of beyond seeing to occur. Because there's different types of insights that can come. But they all feel like insights. They don't feel like that previous I know mind just spitting out what it has learned before. There's something very genuine. Something very genuine in the contemplation process that can occur. And again, as I stated before, if you're new to contemplation, it's possible that nothing will appear to happen right away. It's possible that you'll contemplate a quote and there's just nothing, nothing, nothing. I would recommend do not be frustrated. Remain open in trust that it will come. And maybe the next day you contemplate the same quote again and still nothing comes. Just remain open. And then, if you're like me, what may happen is you'll be in the shower one day, not even thinking about the quote, and then boom, it comes. And you know instantly, instantly, that's the result of your contemplation of this particular quote. So again, I'm reading 682b, wisdom self is not individual self. And I spoke about this when I said that the same truths come through everyone when we go in deeply looking. And so that's how we know it's one self, this wisdom self. It's not these apparent separate people from separate cultures and separate times. If that were true, we'd have separate wisdoms and they would not match. Right? So there's one wisdom self. Wisdom self is not individual self. Attachment to and concern with individual self completely blocks the realization of wisdom self. Conversely, when one is willing to disregard the petty urgings of individual self because one aspires to realization of truth, true seeing beyond human seeing is realized. And contemplation is one way to do this. You know, you sit down with a contemplation, you're putting aside the petty urgings of the individual self. You're contemplating a quote from a master or you're contemplating a scripture only for the purpose of realizing truth, and this is when the seeing begins to happen. I'm going to move on now to 682C. There's the quote for anyone, or the link to the journal for anyone who is interested. 682C. Realization of self supersedes any apparent happenings. Sickness cannot dim its vision. Financial problems cannot dim its vision. Romantic conflict cannot dim its vision. Family attachments cannot dim its vision. Life, in whatever form it takes, is not a distraction for self-realization. I would say 682C is a good way to tell whether you are self-realized or awake, or whether you're just still journeying on the path. When you're still journeying on the path, again, you can have incredible insight during times of contemplation, or for some, during times of meditation. Incredible insight. But if when we get up, if you will, from our contemplation time or our meditation time, and we go back into the world, and our mind becomes consumed with the problems of the day again, ignorance arises. Ignorance meaning that state of mind that blocks wisdom. And so you could say we're living part of our day in clarity, the part of the day when we're really focused on clarity, and we live part of our day in ignorance. We forget the clarity. We might even forget entirely the realizations we had this morning, and we're right back into worrying about the things we worry about and trying to control the things we try to control. This just means we're still journeying on the path, and that's okay. I mean, that's just where we are. And I think it's helpful to know we're still journeying on the path, because then we also know that we really still need that contemplation time and that meditation time. And we still need to maybe even write down what comes during that time and carry it in our back pocket and take it out and review it. We still need our spiritual practice. How do we know if we're self-realized, awakened? Well, I'm sure there's ways other than this, but going by what this particular journal entry says, no situation in the world can pull us back into ignorance. No situation in the world pulls us back into self-concern. We do not find ourselves worried about our health and trying to figure out how to fix it. We're not worried about our relationships and trying to control them to a specific outcome or way of being, right? Financial problems, they may be there. There may appear to be no money, but that is not a problem for us. You see, we don't go back into that ignorance of self-concern. So, great clarity comes during contemplation or meditation. Then we move into the day, and the day starts happening, and we get caught up in thinking about it again. That's a return of ignorance. That means we are just still traveling the path. But if that never happens, if that wisdom self is truly always in the lead, and there's nothing that dims the vision of that wisdom self, well, we have, you could say, removed the blocks to love's presence. Now, whether that is true perception, as the Course would define it, or awake, I'm not going to get into defining. But there's a definite difference between one who experiences at all times the peace that passeth understanding am one who experiences that sometimes, right? So 682C, realization of self supersedes any apparent happening. I also love this. It says any apparent happenings. Because if we are self-realized, we no longer think of ourselves as this person, as this body, right? I am not the one with the illness if the body is ill. I am not the one with the financial problems if there isn't enough money about or what appears to be enough money about. That's not even who I am. I'm not this person. I am that which is changeless and which is untouched by everything. And if I have come to know myself as that which is changeless and which is untouched by every apparent happening, then there can be no apparent happening that bothers me. Not even the death of the body can be upsetting to me if I know myself as that which is unborn and changeless. So you can see there really is a big difference between a person, you know, who has great clarity but then lapses back into ignorance, and one who no longer sees oneself as a person but has come to see oneself as that which is beyond. Realization of self supersedes any apparent happening. Sickness cannot dim its vision. Financial problems cannot dim its vision. Romantic conflict cannot dim its vision. Family attachments cannot dim its vision. Life, in whatever form it takes, is not a distraction for self-realization. All right, let's move down to 682D. Says, ignorance, and then in parentheses, concern for world and individual self. So that's how it's defining ignorance. Ignorance, or concern for world and individual self, hides true realization. True realization supersedes any apparent happenings. One who is not fully ignorant and not unconditionally realized does best to remain in contemplation so the sight of the self is not lost. And I'm going to post that last line from the journal into the room just in case some of you aren't looking at the journal, because this last line most likely applies to every person in this room, right? One who is not fully ignorant. I can't see your hands, but go ahead and raise your hands. How many of you can say, I'm not fully ignorant anymore? I mean, I know I can. There's a big difference between my way of being in everyday life now and the way it was, say, 10 years ago. Right? There's a big difference. Things that I would have got caught up in mentally, they don't even tempt me anymore. Right? So it's true that I am not fully ignorant, or at least not as ignorant as I used to be. But am I unconditionally realized, where there is nothing that can happen that will not upset me in some way? No, that's not true either. I would be lying if I said that. And if you guys know me, I'm not in the lying. So I fall into this category of not fully ignorant and not unconditionally realized. I'm somewhere in the middle. And this says, one who is not fully ignorant and not unconditionally realized does best to remain in contemplation. Remain in contemplation. So the sight of self is not lost. I think we've probably all at one point heard the story about the person who meditates, or we could say the person who contemplates for an hour, 2 hours in the morning, and then gets up from the cushion, you know, or the very nice chair, and then, like, forgets everything and just goes all the way back into concern about self and the world. This is recommending that we not do that. This is recommending that we find a way. I mean, certainly, because all of us have lives, jobs, families, etc., pets, you know, we have things that need to be done. Certainly, we're not going to stay on the cushion or in the chair all of the time in active contemplation. But this is saying we need to find a way to remain in contemplation as we go through the day. And, you know, one of the ways that I recommend that we remain in contemplation is, again, we write down any insights that come. Or if there is no insight, write down what was being contemplated and carry it with you throughout the day. And throughout the day, open it and read it again and review it. I think that the course workbook is teaching us to remain in contemplation throughout the day, especially when it starts giving us those lessons that we're to remember hourly or every half hour or every 15 minutes, right? It's teaching us to remain in contemplation throughout the day. And what I've been doing lately is I take, well, I call them meditation breaks, but they're times of silence and resting in the heart. And I take them many, many times throughout the day. You know, I have this period of time in the morning, typically an hour, sometimes now a little more than an hour, where I'm in meditation. And I do contemplation also on most days, though not all days. So when I do contemplation, the whole period might be 2 hours. On some days, the whole period might even be 3 hours. So I have this designated time for meditation or meditation and contemplation. But I don't let that be enough. I go through the day, you know, maybe a task comes up that I need to accomplish. I create a web page or something. And then after that task is complete, and before I go to the next task, I just sit back and I close my eyes and I just be. I just be. Whether it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I just be. And then when it feels appropriate, I open my eyes and I go on to the next task. And I really feel that these breaks during the day when I'm just being are very, very helpful. They keep me from running headfirst right back into ignorance, because I have the reminder of being in the heart multiple times throughout the day, and it stays with me better, right? It stays with me better. So if we are this person who is not fully ignorant anymore and also not unconditionally realized, one thing that's really helpful for us is to find a way to remain in contemplation throughout the day. Again, that could be a Course in Miracles workbook. Barb is saying it's, for her, the Loving All method. For me right now, it's the meditation breaks. If you study the teachings of Inner Ramana, it could be the mantra, I am that I am. If you take MPP, you'll find that sometimes there's a recommendation that you write down something that was inspirational to you and, you know, keep it with you throughout the day and review it throughout the day. And I'm sure there are ways of doing this that I have not thought of. But it's helpful to find a way to remain in contemplation so that we don't have this period of time in the morning when we're all lit up with clarity, and then we just kind of toss it aside and run headfirst right back into ignorance. Ignorance, remember, is defined as concern for world and individual self. So when I say remain in contemplation and not just run head first right back into ignorance, I mean not run head first right back into concern for our little world and our individual self, worrying about the money, worrying about the romantic relationship, worrying about the kids, trying to control things, trying to get people to be the way we need them to be so that we can feel comfortable, right? All of that stuff we're saying is ignorance. Ignorance, concern for world and individual self, hides true realization. Remember, true realization supersedes any apparent happenings. I can recognize it because I am not being upset. Life is going on. Things are continuing to happen. Things that once would have pulled me into them with worry, fear, anger, jealousy, you name it, right? All those things are still happening. The only difference is if I am self-realized, if I realize myself as that which is beyond the human form and beyond the human mind, since I know myself as that which cannot be touched by anything, I am not upset by anything. I can be present. I can have the wisdom guidance of what to do if there is something to do, or to do absolutely nothing if that's what's to be done. But I'm at peace. I'm happy. I'm at joy, right? Ignorance, concern for world and individual self, hides true realization. True realization supersedes any apparent happenings. Again, apparent happenings, because I know myself as that which is not touched. Nothing is happening to what I am. So they're only apparent happenings, right? True realization supersedes any apparent happenings. Now, we've talked about ignorance, concern for the world and the individual self. We know it hides true realization. We've talked about true realization. We know it is the peace that passeth understanding. It is not bothered by anything because it is not touched by anything. But what about the middle? One who is not fully ignorant and not unconditionally realized does best to remain in contemplation so the sight of true self is not lost. That's what's for the rest of us, right? I'm going to go ahead now. I think that's the last there is on 682. Yep, next is 683, which I'm not going to go into because I only have a minute left before I go get Miranda. So let me just read this very long quote from Yoga Vasistha. 682 in the Seven Steps to Awakening. When the mind has ceased to be because of the total absence of the notions of material existence, consciousness exists in its own nature as consciousness, and that is known as pure being. When consciousness, devoid of notions of objectivity, merges in itself, losing its separate identity, as it were, it is pure being. When all objects, external, material, and internal, notional, merge in consciousness, there is pure being of consciousness. This is the supreme vision, which happens to all liberated ones, whether they seem to have a body or they are without one. This vision is available to one who has been awakened, to one who is in a state of deep contemplation, and to a man of self-knowledge. It is not experienced by the ignorant person. And so as you can see, this is why it benefits us to stay in contemplation throughout the day. So I'm going to let go of the mic now. I will go get Miranda, and then I will come back, and we will listen to her, chat with her for the next 90 minutes. So hang around for Miranda if you can. Thank you very much, everyone.